Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Driving More Show. Hi, I'm Paul. I'll be your host this evening. And it's been a solo show this evening as, none of the other guys can make it, unfortunately. A bit of a different one tonight on the old red wine rather than the beer. But hey, I got a bottle of Graham Norton. Shiraz was already open, so thought I'd better be polishing that one off. So what are we going to talk about tonight? Well, we've also got some Super Rugby as we head towards the pointy end of the season. There's been we'll go through the sort of rugby and news as well around that. Might even have a quick chat about the Nations Cup and all that kind of stuff that World Rugby are trying to do as well. But in the kind of news side of things, congratulations to the Black Ferns who won the World 7 Series at the weekend in Toulouse. I should see who won the men's event. As it's not in the newspaper, I'm guessing that it wasn't New Zealand on that one. On the men's side of things. So a quick look, Fiji beat Ireland in the final. And congratulations to Ireland making it the final. Fantastic result for them. It shows how they're growing the game over there. Unsurprising seeing Fiji win. Let's be honest with that one. The Black Ferns Sevens beating the Australians in the final. So congratulations to them on that one. New Zealand rugby's Brett Impey has left and gave a bit of an interview on his way out. So he had no regrets. And boy, how disconnected is he from the fan base and from reality. The way that they, once Steve Chu left and he became kind of the spokesperson after that, and the sort of the aggressive nature that's the whole sort of way that New Zealand rugby changed its way of doing business under Steve Chu. It all been very all done quietly behind the doors, and you announced stuff when it was complete with Brent Impey. There was lots more aggressive stuff in the media. Fighting with the Players Association, fighting with the Australia Rugby. I think it just shows how disconnected he was and how he thinks he is right. Let's hope we get back to a more cooperative way of working than that. Good evening, someone who has joined us in the live chat. Says that over in the Premier League of South America, the Chilean team beat the Jaguares in the semi-finals there. So congratulations to them on that one. Simon says, yeah, Brent Impey was the worst chairman for New Zealand rugby. Wow. I'll be honest, I don't have a history of chairman in the... for New Zealand rugby, and I guess they're not generally supposed to be the public face of rugby, so you're not supposed to see them too much on that one. So yeah, it's kind of bad when you do see them. And I mentioned that today, Pocock being elected to the Australian Senate. Yeah, we're not really kind of doing politics on the show, trying to avoid that. But clearly, politics and sports can't be totally separated. And congratulations to David Pocock on that, getting in as an independent on in that one. Also, out of Australia, and I'm looking at the wrong screen. This problem having so many screens. Great to hear about Australia, A, participating in the Pacific Nations Cup in July. So they'll be playing Fiji, or Samoa, Fiji and Tonga in that order. Games in Samoa and Fiji, not in Tonga, unfortunately, for that one. But good to see them playing those teams. A bit of a shame, really, that the July window, which is when the European teams tour. So you've got Ireland obviously coming to New Zealand, England going to Australia, Wales going to South Africa, Scotland heading down to Argentina, France over to Japan. I've forgotten where Italy is going now. But yeah, a bit of a shame they haven't got a tier one nation going through the Pacific Islands. But I'd rather see Pacific Nations Cup being played in either the Six Nations window or the Rugby Championship window to give them that regular rugby every year. But look, good to see Australia A getting a run out against those teams anyway. Not perfect, but say better than what could have happened in that point of view. Pacific Nations Cup, Australia A used to be a part of this back in 07 and 08, where they came second in both times to first off the Junior All Blacks and then the New Zealand Maori All Blacks nowadays there. So Pacific Nations Cup taking another format yet again. As it seems to get mixed up every single year. Good to see that those extra games there for Fiji, Samoa and Tonga there. And as some of you mentioned there, that Scotland are stopping off to having a game in Chile as well, which is good to see. A bit like Ireland are playing the Maori All Blacks here in New Zealand in midweek games. They're doing something similar for the Chile game there with Scotland, which is good to see that we're getting those midweek games now a bit more regularly, really. We've seen them occasionally. I mean, Wales played the Chiefs some way back there with that one. As a reviewer says, he thinks it's Scotland A, though. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Ireland treat the Maori All Blacks games. Do they just say it's an Ireland 11? Because it's not going to be the test side. It's not going to be a capped game. Or do they call it the Irish Wolfhounds, which is their, which is the Ireland 18? So it'll be interesting to see how Ireland brand, I guess that's all it is really at the end of the day, you know, the same players playing. The games against Maori All Blacks, as you say, yeah, Scotland A against Chile, because obviously if it's a midweek game, it is not your first choice team there in that one. Which doesn't mean it means it's a non-cap game. So yeah, so good to see there's these extra games going on now in these midweek in the mid-year tour spots. Talking of that, the Nations Cup has come up again, and yeah, it seems like a good time to talk about as we've headed down this international route. Just wet the whistle first with a bit of Shiraz wine. So the Nations Cup. It's changed slightly from the last time it got suggested. So previously, it would have included Six Nations games, July games, the Rugby Championship games, with them two teams added to the Rugby Championship, and also and the November internationals as well, with everybody playing. Everyone else wants either home or away. That's now being changed in the with promotion relegation then from the Six Nations and the Rugby Championship. Now that's been changed now so that Six Nations games and the Rugby Championship games won't be included. There's going to be two conferences, the European Conference, which will have initially the Six Nations teams in there. Obviously England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, France and Italy. But there will be promotion and relegation from that conference, but not from the Six Nations. Okay, so the only games that are in part of the new Nations Cup, whatever it's going to be called, are the July international games and the November ones as well. So the Rugby Championship isn't included. Then there would be the Southern or the rest of the world, even though they call it North and South ones, which means that which will be, and in that conference you will have New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, Argentina, Japan, and Fiji is being proposed on this one. And then Simon says, yeah, does that mean that Six Nations teams are playing each other twice? Just a question. No, it does not. Because what that means is everyone in the European or the Northern Conference will play every team in the Southern Conference once, either with three games in that July window and three games in that November window. But they'll have a Northern table. So basically you're being ranked against teams you don't play. And then you'll have the Southern Hemisphere or rest of the world conference, which again they will the Rugby Championship games do not count, so it's only games against. So New Zealand, for example, we will get points for playing England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, France, and Italy, but no points for their games against South Africa during the Rugby Championship or Australia, for example. But yet we'll be in a table against those teams, and then the top two teams from those two conferences will then play in a final. Now, the big hurdle being that fourth extra window for a fourth game in November that doesn't exist currently. So there needs to be one more window for international games. Also, the relegation games will take place during that window as well. So the bottom team from each conference will play off. So in Europe, that would be against like a Georgia or a Romania, something like that. Whereas the bottom team, which would probably be, let's be honest, Fiji or Japan, would play off against either someone like the USA or Samoa, whoever tops that the sort of the second tier competition there. To me, look, we've had confusing conference systems before in Super Rugby, and it didn't go down too well, let's be honest. And to me, this unfortunately smacks of that. I'm not sure you need an extra final at the end of all of this either. But I mean, the whole point of this is to make it more relevant and make the games more, more appealing for viewers. But if viewers can't understand the competition, then are you really going to achieve that? We'll have to wait and see. Remember, the competition only happens every other year. On the even years, so basically the years that don't have a Rugby World Cup and don't have a Lions Tour. So it's not, it doesn't, so again, at least the scarcity is there, which is probably which I think is a good thing. It does mean that these tours that we're seeing now, like Ireland coming to New Zealand for three games and adding in those Maori All Blacks games, those will disappear and only happen every 4 years during Lions tours, which basically means only France become the proper become a touring country, Italy to a lesser degree. And then all the other teams, England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, for example, are being part of the Lions, so don't tour properly during that year. So it's a once every other year thing. So it's not so people, I guess people the scarcity of those games make which will increase interest, I think, is a good idea. On that point of view, Simon puts in the live chat there that he has to disagree. People like USA Sports, and they have based on conferences. You don't always have to understand how a sports works. Look, I get it, but at least in all the USA conferences, you are ranked against teams. You have in conference games, and so you're ranked against your other teams that you play in your conference. Sure, there are crossover games as well. But you're ranked against teams you play in your own conference. The only time we've seen this kind of approach where you're playing against teams that aren't in your conference, I think there's a Pacific Nations Cup that did it that was based in the US, based in North America. The old LV Cup, or which was basically the reserves kind of cup that was held by the Premiership teams. This idea of having a conference where you don't play teams in your own conference, I think is the problem. I think that's what will confuse people. It's like, oh, what, we're going to play England, but if we win, we're not ranked against England. We're ranked against South Africa, who we don't play. How does that kind of work? And to me, that's the confusing side of things. Now, we'll have to wait and see how that all pans out. Maybe they can put the razzmatazz around it. Perhaps they can do the marketing well, and it will work. But I don't think it's a great start to how this to this format. Personally, I'm not a fan straight from the off. And so, yeah, there's my opinions on that side of things. Let's crack on into the weekend of rugby. And we kicked off on Friday with the Crusaders versus the Drua. Look, was over at Archman's house for this one. And look, his 10-year-old son says, oh, look, the game's all over already. As I think it was Seve Reese scored in the first couple of minutes. And yes, it was. I mean, 61-3. Leicester Fanning Nuku scored after 2 minutes, and Reese picked up two scores later in the game. 61-3. This one game was over before it really started, to be honest. Fergus Burke knocking over eight conversions there from nine of the tries. Look, it's great to see Fiji and Drua in this competition, but let's be honest, that wasn't a game that it's a game that we switched off. We left it on in the background, but we didn't really pay attention to it. We were just talking most of the time that one, to be honest. That was followed up by the Reds versus Moana Pacifica, finished off this one 34-22, which unfortunately makes it sound perhaps a little bit closer than it really was with that try after the 180 minutes to make things a bit closer. Look, it was 24-10 at half time. Whilst Moana Pacifica did get the first try after the half, it was then all Reds as it went out to 34-15. So well done to the Reds, picking up their first win since the Melbourne round. But with news that James O'Connor is back out injured for the rest of the Super Rugby season, it's not boding well for the Reds. Let's be honest, he's perhaps the most important, one of the most important players in Super Rugby because of the drop off from him to his replacement. Reds don't really have a backup 10. I've seen some tweets out there suggesting they should take one of the Tars ones, because the Tars seem to have a stack of 10s, of young 10s at the moment, looking to try and get in to that side. So maybe that's a thing for Australian, or the Rugby Australia to think about there, is balancing all of that. So Moana Pacifica now, I don't know. Were they thinking about their next game on Tuesday night against the Force? I'm not sure about that, and we'll have to wait and see. I mean, with looking at their lineup with players like Sakopi Kepu, Sammy Slade, you've got Time Stowers in there, Solomoni Kata, you've got Danny Tawala, Fofa Vanawai, Christian Lea Fana. Look, that's not a resting team in that one. A couple of centres there, maybe, that they've been rotating. But with Henry Tafu on the bench, who captained them earlier in the season, and Levi Mua not selected there. But apart from that, I say this is not a this was not a big resting players ahead of the Tuesday's game. So we have to see how that one pans out. But look, I'll be at the game on Tuesday night, and one of the things I will be talking at with the with the head coach is kind of like, how does he sort of rank or rate how they've progressed during the season? Look, it can't be on results. I think this has been a successful season for Moana Pacifica. Look, I don't think it's just going to come down to points. But yeah, this one, the Reds had in the bag. Now, remember, Reds, champions of Super Rugby AU last year. Sure, they are thin in a couple of positions, and there's injuries to the Tongan Thor and also to Jock really have been a problem for them. Jock, James O'Connor, obviously back for this game, but to say he's out again next week. Well, for the rest of the season on that one.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Chiefs versus the Western Force. I was at this game at FMG Stadium at the weekend. And the Chiefs jumping out to a 21-0 lead with this one. The Western Force, if they got the score in halftime, maybe they'd have got themselves back into it. It'd be a bit different. But in the end, 54-21, the Chiefs happy with the kind of victory, perhaps not happy with all of their execution. The restarts by the Western Force, they won a lot of those. So definitely areas for the Chiefs to work on in this one. Look, they dominated territory in particular. So played in the right part of the pitches, the right parts of the pitch, and that caused the Force problems, and they were very, very unhappy. That one you can see, and I'll just put a video up of the post-match interviews. Just one question I asked about how the team will recover for Tuesday's game. You can just see in the body language how upset and angry, or well, not really angry, but how upset they are with their performance.
Yes, on tour, you have a limited squad. How difficult is that going to be, coping with three games or coping with another game in just like 4 days, Captain? Is that how are you guys going to recuperate in just those couple of days with just a small squad?
We're footy players is our profession, and that's what we love doing is playing footy. So it actually means less training and just getting out there and getting stuck into it. So we're actually quite positive about having a bit more time out there on the field playing.
Yeah, we call it storm week over here. That some of the players prefer to have storm week because there's less training. So is that going to be kind of part of it? Is it, yeah, look, guys, let's just get back in there and get stuck in.
Yeah, that's right. That's the way we've got to look at it. We've got to look at it from a positive perspective and how we can grow through this challenge of three games within the space of a week virtually. We're actually looking forward to it.
Great. Well.
So there we go. You can see, trying to sound positive, but even though he's using the words positive, there's no positiveness in his voice in that one. Look, it's tough for them, let's be honest. Tim Sampson knows, he's already been replaced. All the players know that. He knows that he's not around next season. They were out of the running for the playoffs. And so it becomes very difficult as to how do you handle the rest of that season? Do you once you're out of the playoffs, do you try and build for next season? Well, you can't really, because you're not the head coach next season, but you can't be playing for playoffs. So there's not really much to play for. I can imagine that's a very difficult situation to be running the Western Force. And they've been a bit of a kind of mess since that. Not really a mess. I think they've sunk down since that kind of announcement and sort of being out of the playoffs. They started the season well, but clearly. Have not pushed on in the way that I think some of us thought they might do or hoping they would have done, having had a proper pre-season for the first time of the piece. Someone asked, is there any news as to going to the next head coach of the Western Force? Yes, it's Cron, who is going to be the Western Force's head coach. So Simon Cron will be the new head coach next year. Which I think is so. I mean, he'd already been named. I think that was towards the end of March, which was kind of not the sort of thing that we that happens in rugby generally. The way that normally happens, I mean, look, you basically someone like Brown at down at the Highlanders, look, we know his contract's running out, and he said he's not going to get renewing it. So you kind of leave that way. You don't generally have that generally doesn't work when the next person has been named in that one. Yeah, the Force could have three results go their way to get into eighth, but it's highly, highly unlikely. Those three games, folks, are this Tuesday night, Wanderers Pacifica versus Western Force. So first off, they need to win that game. They then need to beat the Hurricanes over in Perth and for the Highlanders to lose to the Rebels following that game as well. And the Highlanders will know what they need to do to make sure they get in that top eight. So first off, yeah, the Rebels do need to win both of those games. They're on 16 points currently, so trailing the Highlanders by 6 points. So they need to win both those games and also for the Highlanders to lose as well. So, look, I can't really see that happening, let's be honest, because the Rebels have not been very good either. So, look, it's, we're looking at, quite unlikely. Mathematically, yes, they can do it, but we're looking at miracles for them. Let's be honest. And I think Tuesday night's game against Moana Pacifica is going to be really interesting to see how definitely, I mean, Moana definitely in with a shout for this game. I thought they might rest a few more players for that game over against the Reds to be ready for Tuesday, but clearly that's not the approach that they've taken on that one. It was also Peter Gasawakula's 50th game. I have got to interview him afterwards, talk about what it means to him to play 50 games for the Chiefs. I'll put that up on the New Zealand Sports Radio Patreon page this evening. So do head over there to patreon.com/entersportradio to see Peter Gasawakula talking about his 50 caps for the Chiefs. And then you can help me help fund New Zealand Sport Radio so we can actually afford to buy cameras, etc. And microphones. Stephen Harris has been doing some great work getting around the Auckland club scene. And we would love to be able to get him a tripod and a better camera so that he can cover those games a bit better. So if you would like to help that, then please head over to patreon.com/NZSportsRadio. After that, then, we had the Hurricanes up against the Melbourne Rebels. This one finished 45-22. Again, the Hurricanes dominated possession and territory. The Rebels not helping themselves out with 70% on their line-out on this one. I was driving for this this game, so I didn't actually see this one. But look, with it being 26-8 at halftime, yeah, I think that this game was well and truly over early doors. Let's be honest. A try after Rebels scored first after halftime, that brought it back to a 26-15. But the Hurricanes just pulled away from there with that one. Jordy Barrett back into the 12 jersey. So it'll be interesting to see how that impacts his All Blacks selections and whether this has been something that the All Blacks have requested, or whether this is something that he's talked previously about wanting to play 12 long term and sees that as his position rather than fullback. So, going to be interesting to see what that means further on. But I'll be honest, look, a result we expected. And of the four games so far, none of them really were that surprising. And this round really was probably one of the more predictable rounds, he says, except that he then went and got a couple of games wrong towards the end. Because we then had the Brumbies versus the Blues, cracking a good game this one, tense all the way through. Look, the Blues dominated possession and territory 62%, 69%. They had more run meters. The Brumbies gave up 16 penalties, only 5 by the Blues. I think we had both sides complaining about the refereeing and what was and wasn't being allowed to get away with in this one. The Blues scrum, they'll be worried about that one. They only won 10 out of 17, 58%. That's one of the, that's an appalling record at scrum time there in that one, especially when you think about the All Blacks props and stuff that they have got. Look, the Blues snuck over the line with a drop goal after the hooter. Does this suddenly mean that New Zealand teams know how to get that droppy? No, look, it was under advantage. And I think that's probably the only reason that Bowden Barrett went for the drop goal. He knew he had a penalty kick to go for posts if he missed. So it was a shot to nothing. I'll be honest, would he have taken otherwise? Don't know about that one. Stephen Perifetta kicking the penalties and conversions, interestingly enough. Where does that put Bowden Barrett as far as the number 10 jersey for the All Blacks? Not so sure about that one. But look, the Blues had all the play. They should never have let it get down to that. And I think they'll be upset with themselves that they couldn't get the win here, having playing all the rugby in all the right part of the pitch. Massive defensive effort from the Brumbies. Over 200 tackles made, twice as many as the Blues in this game. And we should do a bit of a hat tip to some of the Brumbies players who put in all of those tackles, because boy, oh boy, there were a lot. Alatoa with 19 and Hooper with 19 topped the number of tackles there. In the backs, Simone 15, Lolasio at 10 with 13 at tackles, and Ikitau with 12. So, yeah, stacks of hard work put in on defence by the Brumbies in this one. So the Blues really shouldn't have left it so close. Finally, we had the Highlanders versus the Waratahs, a game that really was decided by a tip tackle in this one, because it was close up in that point, 7-7, then Sam Gilbert tip tackled Hooper and got himself quite rightly red carded. The Waratahs used found this space where the extra man was very well. Scored two tries to pull out to 7-19 at halftime. Whilst the first scores in the second half were by the Highlanders, pulling it back to 15-19, that was as close as they were going to get as Waratahs had a yellow card and were a man down at that point. Waratahs then came back and played sensible rugby, knocking over penalties, a couple by Edmund. Yes, he missed one, but then scored a try and a conversion to seal things off at 15-30. But yes, keep that scoreboard ticking over, keep the scoreboard pressure on the Highlanders, and that was enough to see them home. A late try by Coombs Fabling meant that it got it was 20-32 in the end. Must admit, I had the Highlanders down for this one, but the Waratahs have really come a very, very long way this season, and are the most improved team by a long shot. One of the comments or one of the things last year was about the number of games that the Australian teams didn't win against the New Zealand teams. Here are the results from the Super Round in Melbourne onwards. So the Brumbies are 3-2. Three wins and two losses. And their final game comes up against Moana Pacifica this coming Saturday. I will be at that game at Mount Smart Stadium as well. So you'd expect the Brumbies to have four wins and two losses since then. So a very good record for them. the Drua Rebels and Reds, to be fair to them, all their one win and four losses, all their wins have come against Moana Pacifica. So again, they have lost all of their games against New Zealand opposition, with the Rebels having the Highlanders, obviously the lowest team in New Zealand. They have, in some ways you say, the best chance there. The Waratahs, 3-2, I say, fantastic record for them. Their final game of the regular season is up against the Blues. Now, it'll be interesting to see who the Blues send over for that game. They currently have a 6-point lead at the top of the table, ahead of the Crusaders, which means that they will finish top of the table. They will have a home quarterfinal, a home semi-final, and a home final if they get there. Currently, so that means basically they're going to be playing the Highlanders unless miracles happen and the Western Force climb up into that spot. So the Blues don't need to send a full strength side over to Sydney for that game. It'll be interesting to see what kind of selection they do go for. Do they rest players, or do they want to continue the momentum that they've built with that winning streak that they have? We'll have to wait and see on that one. Western Force, four losses so far, with their game on Tuesday night against Moana Pacifica before heading home to host the Hurricanes. Look, two wins, and suddenly they're in the playoff picture, maybe. But look, four losses on the bounce does not look good for them. And let's be honest, will they be the only team to be donutted since the Super Round over in Australia, or will they donut the Moana Pacifica? We'll have to find out on Tuesday night. I really don't give the Western Force much of a hope up against the Hurricanes. But then again, if we have a look at that table, and sorry, I've not put it up on screen, but I'll say the Brumbies, the Blues have got that 6-point lead over the Crusaders. They will finish top or whatever. The Crusaders then on 48 points, and the Brumbies on 44 points. So the Brumbies can finish second if they get a bonus point win, and the Crusaders lose and don't pick up a losing bonus point. And then the Chiefs on 41 points, only 3 points ahead of the Hurricanes, and they're heading up to play the Fijian Drua in Fiji, which we know will be a cracker one up there. All the Green, the Crusaders, Brumbies, Chiefs, Hurricanes, the Waratahs, only 1 point behind the Hurricanes. And the Reds only 2 points behind the Waratahs. All of those teams have got something to play for, from two down to seven there, coming into this final round. Because the Brumbies overtake the Crusaders, that means they get themselves into home semi-final territory. Whereas if the Crusaders hold on to their second place, that obviously gives them that home semi-final, which could be all important. So lots of important games coming up this weekend. I say only the Blues there and the Highlanders. Well, look, they need to get that win. They'll know if they need to get that win against the Rebels or not, because depending on what happens to the Force over the next two games there with that one. So that's what our final round is looking like. Keep an eye out over on patreon.com/EnterSportRadio, where I will post my predictions for the final set of games. And folks, I think that is pretty much it for this evening. Hope you are all staying safe and well. I was at Mount Smart Stadium at the weekend, but that wasn't for rugby. That was for other reasons, which you can catch, which you can see on my socials. Stay safe, everyone. Enjoy the rugby. And I'll be back here next Monday at 8 p.m. with the Driving Ball Show.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.